Let us pray. Bread of heaven, feed us with your word. In Christ we ask you. Amen. The stories of Elisha are tucked away in 2 Kings, where most Christians never tread. It's a commonplace for pastors of the churches almost never to preach from the Old Testament. So perhaps we heard these stories in Sunday school long ago, and since then they may have been locked in a cabinet. But now, suddenly, this forgotten old library bursts out with one of the best love stories from the Gospels, the feeding of the multitudes. Set side by side, the Elisha story and the Jesus story of feeding the multitudes look like twin sisters. There's the hungry crowd, the disciples with only a little something in a grocery bag, the master's command, give them food, the disciples, how? The master's repeated command, and then food for all. Meditate with me on this promise, this hope, this possibility of food for all. As ever, we're not going to worry whether this all happened just so. For the heart of this story is so plain, beating right there, food for all. When there is food for all, when the hungry are filled with good things, Mary's Magnificat, then there is no more war, no more greed, no more racism, no more mean streets, no more mass incarceration, no more border police, no more deportation, no more joblessness, no more fracking the foundations of the earth, no more lousy education, no more lousy housing, no more bankruptcy and death when sickness comes at the door, no more rotting democracy, no more hunger and thirst when food comes for all. This possibility in the feast we share and celebrate, this possibility, you have always felt it. Now, is this supposed to happen? Is this supposed to happen? Or maybe we've misunderstood. Maybe the story of the feeding of the multitudes, the stories, are to make us see Jesus and bow down. Or is it to be Jesus and rise up? Which is it? You know, we are totally responsible for how we interpret the word. God does not pull that off us. Totally responsible for how we hear and what we do with the word. You give them something to eat, says the word twice, both stories. You do it. Well, if we are going to bear the responsibility to interpret the word, we must also hope that somehow God hold us accountable for how we have heard this word, how we will do it. Else God is really a meaningless motion of words. What can we hear here? First, Elisha does not and Jesus does not do the miracle. By now you recognize that as a theme. It's inside each one of these Elisha miracles in some way. Elisha does not burst his cape and show a big letter S or E or whatever it might be. No, he doesn't do the miracle. To the learner, both Elisha and Jesus say, you give them what they need. Now, evil men give orders that cannot be performed. Make bricks without straw, says the Pharaoh, because he does not wish work or accomplishment, but rather pain and suffering. Love, by contrast, never, ever commands you to do what you are not capable of. Never. Never. Forgive? How often, Lord? 70 times 7 every day. The Lord never gives you a command of which you are not capable. Return no one evil for evil. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy. Do not save your life, but lose it for my sake. In the gospel, all these commands God gives for one purpose only, that you and I learn who we really are. That you learn who you really are, how you are made, what wonderful bounty of gifts and power you are and have. I know, I feel it too, frail, forgetful, uncertain, fearful. But beneath all these shells of the small self, you have been born anew. You are being called out to do God's will. God gives no command of which you are not capable. These commandments, when we work them, reveal to us how our Creator created us. Now, this commandment is coming so clear. Do you see the multitudes who hunger? Then you give them something to eat. How? We ask. At least the learner asks, how? Right? There's a more common response. The usual response to the need of the multitude is, yeah, right, food for all. With the rich ruling Washington? Ha! Food for all while those fool parties duke it out in every state house? Ha! Food for all while I have my own family and my own problems? Ha! Food for all. Yeah, right. There's a voice like that in all of us, a voice of fear, a voice of cynicism. But why do we accept this croaking sound in our throat? If we say, Lord, do you love to sing the song, Lord, I want to be like Jesus? Does that touch your heart as it does mine? Then that croaking sound of cynicism does not belong, but rather the learner's mind, the fresh mind, the open mind, which says, how? Oh, Lord, how? How should we feed this multitude of need we see? Let me open to a mystery. Let me be wanting and waiting to know your power now. How? Look, these Bible stories will not answer that question with a manual that you could just go and consult, because it's your transformation that makes it possible to know how to enter into this world, your transformation. Now, these stories do tell about that transformation. They press for your pulse to see whether your discipleship has got a pulse. They push for it. They tell, first of all, that everyone ate enough and that there was some left over. There's a meaning here. Both stories say it. It's not to be glossed over. There's some left over after everyone was full. Elisha says, some left over according to the word of the Lord. Jesus' story says, some left over enough for 12 baskets full. There's a message here coming to you from your ancient parents. They're talking to you. They're seeking your pulse. They're saying, what moved God to send manna to the wandering children in the desert so that all ate and some was left over? That power is moving in you. What your ancient parents have sent you in this message is to say, what moved the 12 disciples suddenly to see that they themselves must become God's whole body? The longed-for reunion of the scattered tribes, the fragmented tribes sent to oblivion across the earth, they themselves must become the mystical reunited body of unity and love. Your ancient parents have sent you these words to check your pulse. God's love will move in you if you desire it. God's unity of all people, food for all, will move in those who ask how and are willing to be transformed in the Word. Now, one more thought about how. A second idea. This transformation is showing up as radical hospitality in the church that hears God's word. Radical hospitality. Showing up in every servant of the church in every way. Showing up, we've called this accountable discipleship. One simple form of it is that we want to be fouled, as in a game. I've said this once or twice before. It used to be on the courts of the NBA that when one of the players made a mistake, he'd raise his hand right away. He's not trying to hide. He says, yep, I'm the one. I did that. We want that in accountable discipleship. Show me. Help me see it. Help me see it. Help me understand what it is that I am failing to do in terms of radical hospitality, radical love. Pray. We must pray for that longing to show up right here in our church first, that we are so transformed that we desire that everyone is received as if she is Christ, as he is Christ, everyone. So every harsh word, every rushing movement to prevent people from coming in here, all wrong, foul, not Christ's way, not the transformed way of discovering a radical welcome that can be practiced. And when we show to one another works and behaviors that are not hospitable, we do not bring judgment, but the light of God into our love for the brother or the sister. You and I, we need helpers in our discipleship. Everyone does. And yet the patterns have fallen apart in most churches. There is, frankly, no other path to justice in this world than the practice of radical hospitality and the transformation of self, the shedding of the small self skin right here in one's church. Those who aim for justice without the transformation of love are just water passing through the old mill, grinding the old millstones of oppression on each other, generation on generation. And those who say they love God, but do not care for righteousness, do not hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're just burning straw. These must come together. God's chosen hunger beyond the body. They hunger for righteousness. They hunger for truth. We hunger for a direct experience of God. It's not enough to be told what to believe. So these stories we've felt today mean that it could be otherwise in this world. That in the power of God we will. These words are from Walter Brueggemann, the Old Testament scholar. That in the power of God we will overcome the great temptation to think that deep choices are no longer available and that present global systems of power and money have closed off all alternatives. No, it could be otherwise. There could be food for all. No, that frame we're given is going to fall away. Now look, there's no political manual here in the library, in the Bible, but be assured of this. When we learn how we are to become love, when we learn how we are to become one mind in Christ, when we learn how to feed the multitudes, we will once more truly be able to see the multitudes, and we will once more engage the powers of heaven to confront the powers of earth, heedless of justice. Just as Moses did confront Pharaoh, just as Elijah did confront Ahab and Elisha, Jehu and Jesus, the whole empire, so shall we. We will find then the voice of command, the voice of demand, sounding like Bayard Rustin's voice sounded before the multitudes at the March on Washington 50 years ago, when he said, "The first demand is that we have effective civil rights legislation, no compromise, no filibuster, and that it include public accommodation, decent housing, integrated education, a Fair Employment Practices Commission, and the right to vote. What do you say?" And they weren't quiet like that. They were not quiet like that. The power to feed the multitudes is also the power to make a demand. Perhaps on August 24, we're forming as Americans, ready once more to make a demand to feed the multitudes, food for all. But however that is, we must learn the practice here and learn to have a dream for our own day, longing no longer just for that day when good and evil seem just black and white, but ready to receive our own word for our own multitude in our own day, and then answer Christ's command, "You give them something to eat." Amen.